This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by MyYield. MyYield is a family-owned company that empowers farmers across the country to treat their own seed on their own farms. MyYield growers are cutting input costs, improving yields, and taking control of their operations. If you want to learn more about on-farm seed treatment and the latest technologies, go to empoweringfarmers.com. That's empoweringfarmers.com. And also brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up with the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit FSSystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And good afternoon. Welcome to Market Talk for this Thursday, October 21st. Great to have you here with us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us once again today. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web. That's where you can find us. MarketTalkAg.com. Find all of our streaming sources, social media links, and much more on our website, markettalkag.com. We had a down day in the markets today. A lot of red, pretty much a sea of red across the broader commodity board today. Let's talk about it. Let's bring in our good friend, Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, joining us here this afternoon. Brian, great to have you back on, sir. Happy Thursday.
Yes, sir. Happy Thursday. Yeah, an interesting day. We were red yesterday. We were green across the board. Didn't matter what it was. It seemed like we were up. I wouldn't read too much into one day. I do wonder if soybeans maybe are showing a little bit more of their, you know, their struggles. They took 20, 21 cents off pretty easy today, but they had 4 days in a row up. So the market's trying to find its footing. The leaders, of course, continue to be and will be the energy markets, strong uptrend there. Small losses today, maybe a little bit of a technically challenged day as it moved into new highs and sold off, and it's got a slightly larger range than yesterday with a negative. Looks like it'll be a negative finish, but yeah, I think farmer selling likely picked up in corn and soybeans as well. That's been a good rally for farmers to reward.
Yeah, very, very true. And, you know, I think about this as well. You know, crude oil was down almost, 3% at one point today. It didn't finish there, but that obviously affected the edible oils, and that probably contributed to soybeans moving lower, taking that 20-some cents off pretty easy here today. And, you know, some of it, too, might have just been some of that computer trading that we hear more and more about these days, maybe triggering some sell stops and things of that nature, Brian.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole, let's say, trading environment that we are here in 2021, where you do have often the movement pretty swift, pretty fast, and some pretty large orders or a series of orders, algorithmic type trading. And so you have that, but you look at this corn market. I'll just kind of focus back on that. Here we are, October 21st. Do you guys pay the big money and buy the fall application fertilizers or not? Do they take a gamble, wait to spring if it's available? There's just a lot of uncertainty right now. I think ultimately farmers and what we're gathering is they're not going to sell a lot of product unless they get a better price, a better basis, or both. And yet at the same time, when you rally it nearly 50 cents, is which we did again in corn, and we ran out of gas around 540. So I think some farmer selling is picking up. And as it does, remember, somebody buys it from the farmer. And if a feedlot's somewhat sophisticated, they'll buy it and say, well, we own this. We'll either feed it through or we'll hedge off our risk. So they might be selling the futures right away. So they're not necessarily negative. They're just hedging the risk. Same thing with an elevator that buys. Farmer calls and says, I want to sell 50,000 bushels of corn. The elevator doesn't have a home for it right away or can't sell it. They'll hedge the futures. Well, those are sell orders flowing into the board of trade on the sell side. So you might have days like that too. It's all part of the whole mix of the centralized auction place that the Chicago Board of Trade is for grains.
That's very, very true. That's a great point to bring up. And, you know, as well, looking today, you know, a positive was export sales were fairly good, fairly strong. Quarter beans, I know it didn't have much of an effect on the markets themselves, but I'd say that's a bright spot of our trade today.
Yeah, and those are factual numbers. So it's not like their sales on the books have been canceled. I'm sorry, these were sales on the books, but those are factual numbers that we're getting. Export inspections will want to make sure that they kind of keep up. But what you're looking at today, 50.1 million for corn, that's a really solid week. Beans, really impressive, 105.8 million bushels. So 106 million bushels, that's the strongest weekly export sale number. You got to go back a year before you saw that. So yeah, really nice to see, you know, the market almost maybe bought the rumor, sold the fact that there was a lot of export activity in the works. Talked to farmers in the Northwest, you know, they're getting some pretty big bases bid shot at them for both corn and beans to get it to the Pacific Northwest, and or feedlots. They want to talk to a few farmers to last couple of days out a little bit further out west. These feedlots don't want to take a chance. They want to buy inventory. They want to secure it. It's harvest. It's probably not going to get much lower, and it's probably not going to get much lower by next May, June, July, when the uncertainty of growing a crop creeps in. So we're seeing those things and hearing those things as well.
How much are you taking inflation into play here, Brian? I know that's been a hot topic. It's kind of been the buzzword here for I don't know how long, but I mean, we saw plenty of money flow this week into the commodities. Maybe it was a hedge against some inflation possibly, and then we see it flow out today. I mean, what are your thoughts on this inflation story that's in the market and how it's affecting things?
Yeah, what's transitory and what's not? Transitory is a fancy word for saying what's temporary and what's not. And it seems like the needle's sort of shifting more toward, well, maybe the Federal Reserve is changing their mind from transitory to maybe not so transitory. And the bond market might reflect that. Bond market has been simply, you know, a reflection of interest rates, thinking that interest rates will probably move at some point, but they're not, it's not looking like they're worried about, you know, sharp rises in interest rates, which temporarily would suggest, or maybe long-term suggest that inflation somewhat in check. But I think the common sense person who goes to the store, fills up with gas, buys groceries, tries to buy some other goods and products, supply disruptions, all these things, it's real. So if it is real, the concern is that cuts into corporate profits. Sometimes you like to see, or the investment community likes to then, you know, move into things that have more solid, let's say tangible aspects to them, commodities. So you see baskets of commodities. You often hear, hey, the funds are buying commodities as a hedge against inflation. So there certainly is that out there. Now, how much you can contribute to it or not, tough to tell. The bigger issue with commodities in the last 3 years were down crops in 2019, 2020 tailed off because of drought at the end of the year. And then this year, it looks like it'll be pretty good, but not nearly what it could have been for many farmers. So you're tightening not only U.S. inventories, but you're looking at something like Russian wheat, that's been up 14 months in a row. You're looking at fertilizer shortages or talk of that, nitrogen, natural gas, all of these things having impact in a very dynamic sort of, you know, pulling at all angles, commodity market.
Well, looking as well here, you know, despite the sell-off today, Brian, I know you mentioned maybe seeing some farmers selling right now, and I know some folks have been looking out to next year's crop, looking to 2022, trying to make some sales there and or, you know, maybe lock in some floors at these price levels. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Should farmers be looking at making some sales or some moves for next year as well at this time frame?
Yeah, in fact, I just wrote a paper on this. The answer is yes, get started. You've got, in particular, soybeans, because even if soybean acreage doesn't increase significantly, right now the perception is it will. And markets have a tendency to move on perception, momentum, and attitude. So if you think about maybe a lower cost input environment, you're looking at 1230 on the board for beans. I think most producers would probably tell you that they can make that go, that they can make things work. So why not kind of have the mindset where sales are hopefully your first sales and average your price higher? Same thing at corn. I'd like to be a little more friendly to corn, thinking it's going to take 550, 560 to kind of grow enough acres. So now you're growing up. Now what happens? Well, then you have more supply. Brazil rapidly planting soybeans. Idea there is to get more crop, harvest it quicker, get the second crop, safrinha corn, in the pipeline. So when you think about the last 12 months or 18 months, as we look ahead the next 12 months, no one knows with any certainty where things are going. We're not really the norm. But if we do fall back into this mindset, the high prices cure high prices, weather isn't much of a problem. And, oh, by the way, you know, this fertilizer thing, as we look back in May, we might go, yeah, that was a little bit overblown back in October to maybe a lot overblown. So you want to be ready. I think the key, though, Jesse, what I'm getting at is just very strategic marketing. How do you defend prices? How do you defend prices when you sell? And then how do you defend prices of things you don't intend to sell? So we're talking about forward contracting, call buying, put buying, those type of strategies that a good conversation with your advisor can help guide you.
Well, Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the livestock market. Saw plenty of pressure there today. We'll also get a look at the dairy market and more as we continue with the show for this Thursday, October 21st. Back with more Market Talk right after this.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by MyYield. MyYield is a family-owned company that empowers farmers across the country to treat their own seed on their own farms. MyYield growers are cutting input costs, improving yields, and taking control of their operations. If you want to learn more about on-farm seed treatment and the latest technologies, go to empoweringfarmers.com. That's empoweringfarmers.com. And also brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up with the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And we're back here on Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Thanks for joining us today. Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing is our guest here on the show for this Thursday. Brian, let's talk about livestock here today. I know the hog market took a beating, triple-digit losses there. All chart gaps look like they've now been closed. And so that's one point to look at. And I saw as well cutouts. Bellies were up massively today, but that failed to really support this hog market here on Thursday.
Yeah, and that surprised me a little bit on the bellies, because if you want a litmus test, just talk to my wife. She's a shopper. When she goes in the store and sees the price of bacon lately, it's like, no way, we're not eating as much bacon. I mean, that's just how people kind of look at things initially, on sticker shock. So that might be the bigger dilemma with the hog market as a whole, that we're not seeing really enough evidence to say that the daily slaughters are they're going to limit upside. Let's put it that way. I don't know. The hog market's been an enigma all year. It's looked strong. In fact, it's looked really strong when kind of didn't think it should. Looks weak when we don't think it should. Here, you know, you run up, you leave big gaps on the chart, then all of a sudden you peel off. Oh, what have we peeled off? About $8 now on the April contract in 3 weeks. Very disappointing today. Broke the 200-day moving average, I think, and covered a lot of sell stop orders. But we'll see. It's a very volatile, dynamic market. I would have argued before today, you can take away some of these highs and lows, and you're really kind of flatlining in the market on a bigger picture perspective. A little more disappointing today where the cattle market probably got 124 cash out there. Board's still running some premium. I think it gave up some of that premium to cash this week.
Well, and you look at cattle as well. I know disappointing a marketing year low on the weekly export sales. I think it was like only 7,800 metric tons, or something close to that number. And then, you know, we got a cattle on feed report tomorrow as well. So there's quite a few things swirling around this cattle market, Brian.
Well, there is. Weight gain has been good too. So the conversion factors have been really, it's been a good fall, you know, generally a drier fall. You know, you're going to hear good numbers on pushing cattle through. I talked to a producer in South Dakota last week, and his cattle were 3 weeks ahead of schedule. So that tells you something. And in the time of high-priced corn, he's not crying that he can't move these cattle, that he can move these cattle sooner. So it's a little bit helpful there for him. But the kind of the maybe it's what's plaguing the hog market is sort of this underlying supply disruption, can't get enough employees in packing plants, et cetera, creating these cutout values that are starting to drive the consumer away. So you get this problem with, you know, firmer cutout values. Consumers not buying as rapidly as they might in a different environment. And then you've got these supplies that could be backlogged, especially with weight gain goods. So I think that's been kind of the plague in the cattle market. We want to be friendly. We think the drought as a whole reduced the herd. It was stuck around long enough that not only did we see displacement of cattle into areas or in feedlots, but you likely saw some contraction of cows and heifers this year. And ultimately that provides underlying support. In addition to this idea that, hey, we're going to get beyond this COVID thing and demand is going to pick up and it'll stay steadily stronger.
Be a lot of things to watch for sure. Brian, how about the dairy market here this week? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, crazy. Strong upturn today. Processors, I don't want to say have gotten short bought, but all of a sudden it looks like they got short bought. Cow numbers starting to show decline. High corn prices this summer, probably reflective now into some smaller herd size expectations, but really good run today. You've got a market that's in the new contract highs on a lot of these contracts straight up. You've got 19 today, closing 1952 on December, a new contract high. The market just 3 weeks ago was down around 17, so big surge. It looks like I've got my own theory on this with all these supply disruptions. It looks like the shopping for the Christmas holiday, the Super Bowl, all of these things is coming maybe a little bit faster and earlier to make sure it gets in the pipeline to get to where it needs to go. I know from a personal perspective, we looked at some gift packages for certain individuals. We usually like to give them some type of food. We've been forewarned to get your orders in. They got to go out earlier. We're not guaranteeing delivery at a certain window of time. Interesting dynamics this year.
Very interesting dynamics. Brian, any other final thoughts you have for us here on this Thursday? I know, just a down day in the market, not a whole lot of things to talk about, but still plenty to talk about. Any other final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I the last market we ended up with dairy, just a surge in prices here. Certainly time to be, if you're in a dairy industry, thinking about two things. One, look at where milk prices are. Look where meal prices are. Meal prices are close to where they bottomed a year ago. Dairy prices are contract high. So think about those type of dynamics. Just stay in touch with your advisor. There's a lot of moving parts this year. I write an afternoon report. This afternoon I wrote the corn market that typically this time of the year, the focus is on harvest results. And there just isn't any other news is what it is. There's all kinds of perceptive news or actual news and world news and currency changes. You don't have to be an expert at all that. Try and connect with or communicate with somebody who can kind of put all that stuff in a funnel and bring it out the bottom and say, hey, this is probably what's important. And think about a balanced approach to marketing and preparation. Prepare for skyrocketing grain prices. Prepare for grain prices to either slowly grind to death or spiral out of control real fast as things change in the next 6 to 8 to 10 to 12 months. Think about the last year.
Well, Brian, the producers need a little advice, need some help. I know they can reach you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing very easily. It could all start with a phone call, can't it?
It sure can. 800-334-9779. Again, just short conversations on what's important. I kind of like to think we're a little bit like a lawyer or a doctor. you know, we listen. We ask questions and listens and try and diagnose. So trying to learn if there's a need or a problem. Talk to somebody like that, that can really listen to what you're thinking, help you achieve your goals.
Well, Brian, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
And absolutely, Jesse. My pleasure.
Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That's going to do it for the Thursday, October 21st show. Have a great afternoon.